Hello and welcome to another episode of the Principal Liner Notes podcast. There's nothing wrong with your screen. There aren't two Adams or two Shawns, but there are two bald guys, who happen to be in school leadership. So, do not adjust your screen, but I am so grateful and just happy to have my amigo here, Adam. Welcome. Adam, as you know, is a prolific author. You probably have read Kids Deserve It. You've probably subscribed to his infinite podcast, The School District. You may have even had him serve as a keynote speaker. But either way, when it comes down to it, Adam is a bro. Adam is the real deal. He is the goat, and I'm grateful to have you here on the podcast, Adam.
Oh man, it's great to be here, Sean, and it's so nice to be on the other side of the microphone, not having to manage all the back end of hitting record and questions, and I want to ask this, and what do I got to do, and all the things. So, super fun to be here, man, and I'm excited to dive in.
Well, awesome. Yeah, just relax and you don't have to worry about not to look at the time counter or whether or not the screen's frozen. So this is kind of a break for you. So one of the things, Adam, that I really respect about you and admire about you and have always admired is how in your social media channels you are very diligent about sharing your learning, and it really kind of speaks to the fact that as leaders, we should always constantly be learning. So, why that diligence? Why is that something that's passionate for you to share your learning as a leader?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I've never had that, and I appreciate that other people notice it, Sean. I think I've always just been kind of a learner, a learning pusher. I have a sticker on my water bottle that says book pusher, and I think it's the same too of just like, hey, you should check this out. Hey, do you read books? Like, hey, this book is really great. Hey, I saw a really awesome article. I'm gonna text it to you. And not from like an annoying, condescending, I'm smarter than you at all. People that know me know that that's not my jam. I think it's just important to share with other people. And I think I started probably, my dad was like that. My dad, when I was in college, was always sending me articles from the New Yorker magazine, or he would, when YouTube and kind of the internet kind of started, he would, email me articles or videos to watch, and we would talk about it. And I just found myself gaining knowledge, which I think I'm always telling my kids, knowledge, come here, knowledge. I'm about to drop you some knowledge. And it's just learning as a human being. And if we're not learning and we're not evolving, then chances are we're probably not getting better. And I think especially in 2024, if we don't have that mindset, we're definitely going to be left behind because the world is changing at such a rapid pace. We have to have our finger on the pulse of just kind of what's happening. And I would say too, just to add to that, I've gotten positive feedback from people. People come to me like, hey, I need a book to read, or hey, I'm looking for a video, or hey, have you read any good articles lately? Because people know that I'm just always like consuming and reading and looking and subscribing and talking and thinking. So yeah, it's fun. However long I have on this planet, I want to be filling my brain with good things to think about and learn, and in turn having conversations about it with other people.
This episode is brought to you by Prime. Obsession is in session, and this summer, Prime Originals have everything you want. Steamy romances, irresistible love stories, and the book to screen favorites you've already read twice. Off Campus, Elle, Every Year After, The Love Hypothesis, Sterling Point, and more. Slow burns, second chances, chemistry you can feel through the screen. Your next obsession is waiting. Watch only on Prime.
Right on, man. I appreciate that, because that learning aspect, not only does it fill us and fill our bucket and fill our soul, but then also the fact that, and I pick up on it, man. Like as you're sharing, it's very. And I didn't know about that. Your dad. That's very cool. But what that is, or way I would interpret that, his way of being your teacher. You know, parents are in my opinion, not only are they the first teacher, but they're the most important teacher. So in some ways, he's, you know, you're I could you're at college, and I can just see you're opening up a, you know, clipping from the New York Times or something from the Wall Street Journal or what have you. You know, that's his way of keeping the teaching aspect, that mantle, you know, ongoing, you know, and it is so important and powerful, right?
Yeah. And I also just think too, yeah, 100%. And my dad was a teacher. He actually taught second grade for 35 years. So it came natural to him. But I also think too, I think, Sean, I don't think enough people read books. I feel like there's a book reading deficit in our world. You know, people consume a lot of content, and watching a 10-minute video on National Geographic, that's cool. But you know, when you read a book and you can get deep into a book or like a long article, and then in turn have a discussion about that with somebody that's a peer, and even if they're not in front of you, like you and I, like people listening, Sean and I have never met in person, and I hope someday that we do.
Make
I'm
it happen.
sure we will, but you know, we may never ever meet in person, but like we could have a conversation about it offline or online. And I think people always ask me, like, how do you know that? And my kids ask me, like, how do you know all these things, Dad? And I'm like, because I read, you know. And I think reading is a lot different than watching. You know, listening to a book on Audible is to me the same as reading. You know, you're taking it in, and I think actually in a different way, because you have the author in most cases reading the book, you know, which is really cool. So you can hear the intonation in their voice, which doesn't always jump off the page when you're reading it. So read more books, you know, if you want to get perspective, and if you want to know what's happening in our world right now, read history, because things repeat itself, as we know. And I just think I just don't think enough people read books. So I love reading books and then talking about them and sharing and trying to get more people to read books. So it's important.
It really is, and that also kind of speaks to my high school English teacher heart, which I will never forsake. Adam, for you, what is that book? We'll get into some books, but what is that book that is like your go-to, that you may have read 20 years ago or 10 years ago, and you just you go back to it? Maybe it's that book that you give out frequent copies to. So for me, you know, it's Todd Whitaker's What Great Principals Do Differently, and I always make it a point as a principal to reread that book. You know, I will give that book. I've given out copies of that book. What's that kind of version for you, which is kind of your all-encompassing go-to, like this is the way, man. This is the volume.
Yeah, 100%. If we're talking to principals, assistant principals, aspiring principals, any kind of buddy in leadership, my favorite book of all time that I guarantee you will change your life, it's called It's Your Ship by Captain Abershoff. He took over the worst performing ship in the US Navy. So basically, if our country went to war, that ship would not deploy because it wasn't ready. And within 2 years, it was the number one performing ship in the Navy. And I love it because it's not in the education space. It's not bloody and gory and war. It's all leadership and management and relationships and innovation and listening to your people and building capacity in your people and thinking about life after you. Everybody listening, you need to think about life after you, not when you're like gone and dead, but in 2 years and 3 years, when you retire or you move on to a different position, what's going to happen when you leave? You have to be building capacity and building relationships. And it's absolutely the best book I've ever read. I've led book studies in Alaska with 300 principals. I've sold thousands of copies because I recommend it all the time. Yeah, it's the number one, my number one go-to. I read it every year, and I'm always referencing it when I'm doing work with organizations, because there's just so many takeaways. And the last thing I would say is it's super simple. it's applicable to anybody. You're like, well, I'm not a Navy captain. It doesn't matter. If you're an assistant principal in a high school or an elementary school in any state, any country, you can read it and then you can take something from that book and actually implement it that day. You know, you don't need to start a committee. You don't need to build a 30-slide PowerPoint presentation to articulate to your supervisor why you want to do the thing. You can read it. You can make some really, really good change based on that book.
Nice. So for that aspiring principal or that current principal or current AP that's saying, hey, Adam, that's great, but my superintendent has assigned to us a book study on, and not to knock PLCs or anything, but I've got to read this book on assessment, or I've got to read this book on PLCs. I don't have time, you know. What do you say to that leader that is kind of juggling or having to learn a new initiative or learn a new trait or they're just doing, you've been in the gig, you know. Mm-hmm. I got to hire 5 people by August 1st.
Yep. Yeah, I would say, I've been there. I get it. And I would say you have time for what you make time for. And, you know, one of my books, it's called Run Like a Pirate. It's a book about running, but it's not about running. And there's a chapter in there, all the things that I don't do so I can do what I want to do. And, you know, I would just say, if you're watching 3 hours of Netflix shows a week, that's up to you. But, you know, if you want to get better at your school as a leader, read for 10 minutes a night or 10 minutes in the morning. You know, I wake up super early. I'm up at 4:30 in the morning and I make coffee and then I read and then I check in with the world and I read some more, and all before my wife and my kids have woken up. You know, just say, I'm going to read for 5-10 minutes today. I'm going to get through half a chapter. I'm going to see how this applies to what I'm doing right now. And, you know, not to get anybody in trouble, if you are told to read a book about PLCs or whatever, just being general here, you know, sometimes some of those books, just do it good enough. You know, like a C is passing, and I'm not saying don't do your best, but if you're like, okay, I got what I needed to, you know, you don't need to try to get an A+ in reading that book if you have to hire 5 people, or if school starts in 3 days and you have to change all of your class assignments around for your third grade teachers because somebody left, or students or IEPs or whatever. You have to constantly reprioritize what is most important. And I think especially new leaders, but all leaders, I think you have to ask yourself this simple question: should I be doing this right now to this degree that I'm doing it? Because so many people get so stuck on decorating their office. Nobody cares what your office looks like. That's not important. Make it presentable for a meeting. Or why am I doing this? Should I be doing this right now? Actually, I shouldn't. Stop. Turn to the right and go do something else. You have to constantly prioritize. Should I be doing this? Is this what's most important? Is there going to be any return on the investment of me doing this? Or should you go out and walk your school and meet all the new teachers? Should you go meet all of your classified staff? 100% you should, especially if you're brand new, because a lot of times those classified employees feel like they feel left out. They feel like, I'm here, but like I'm not as important as a certificated staff. Wrong answer. Those people are just as important. And in some positions are actually more important, because they're taking students that need a walk 3 times a day around the school for 45 minutes, you know, and they're getting that teacher a break and they're building a relationship. So why are you doing the thing? Do you need to be doing it at the degree that you're doing it? 100%, 70%, 70% is passing. I'm not saying that that's what you should do for everything, but if it's what you need to do for that thing right now to get through it for the next week, to me, that's 100% okay.
Right on. I appreciate that. You know, with new leaders, you know, it's and you've seen it too on LinkedIn and different places. You know, there's a lot of new positions being filled. There's a lot of great joy. I'm kind of in that ilk right now, and excited to take on a new assignment. And you know, there's a lot of energy there, and you want to build capacity. And I often find, and sometimes this has worked, sometimes this hasn't worked. is, and again, being a former high school English teacher, like, man, let's do a book study. Let's all read. That's what a great way for us to get to know everybody. And we're going to have this great Socratic seminar. And I find that I get either lucky and it flies, but I find most times when I make that my first move, it falls flat. You mentioned, and I know you facilitated book studies for your own books, and I do recommend Run Like a Pirate. I'm not a runner. I'm a Planet Fitness elliptical.
Yeah, you are.
Yes. So that's my jam. But the beauty of that book is you don't have to be a runner to appreciate it. Just like it's your ship, you don't need to appreciate. You don't have to be a naval captain. But I guess, Adam, what would be kind of those tips for new people that are new, that are passionate about book studies and reading and titles like you and I are? What advice would you give them?
Yeah, I would say at your monthly meetings or your quarterly meetings. I used to do this. When I was a director of innovation, I was in a big school district. We had 35,000 students, and I had a big team of instructional coaches and, 50 principals and 28 librarians. And I would read excerpts from books. So like, It's Your Ship, we weren't going to be able to do a book study with 100 people. There was just too many things happening. So I would pull out 4 pages and I would read sections of the 4 pages of the chapter that I wanted to be able to take that information and convey something to the team that I was working with. And you can do that in 8 minutes. And then you can have a really great conversation for, 8 more minutes. And in under 20 minutes, you're getting a piece of a content or something that I wanted them to get, because people are busy 1,000%, and people are busy with initiatives and family and everything else. So I would say think big, but act small. Thinking big is I really want them to read this book. Acting small is taking 3 pages and reading it and giving people discussion questions, really short, kind of simple, open-ended discussion questions that they can talk about in table groups, and then they can talk about as a whole. And then when you're out visiting classrooms or schools, you can say, hey, well, actually in this book, or remember that part that we read. So that can also act as kind of like the hook, kind of like fishing. You hook them with one part of the book, and then some people might go, oh, actually, do you have the whole book? I want to read it. And everybody's not going to have time to do it, but you can do a lot in 20 minutes. Don't underestimate how much impact you can have with reading an excerpt and then having a really good conversation to convey a few points that you really want to drive home for your people.
That's a good point. Sometimes there is power and beauty and majesty in the less is more approach. Mm-hmm. And you're hitting some key concepts, and you're honoring people where they are, which is sure. Important as a leader. You really have to honor people where they are. But also it's important as a leader. We're modeling that instructional leadership. We're modeling that lifelong love of learning. Mm-hmm. Just because you got the gig, just because you got the title, doesn't mean that it's over. Right.
Because you got the gig and the title, you need to do more.
That's right.
If you let your briefcase or your purse hit the floor and you're like, ah, I got it, I'm sitting behind my desk. Wrong answer. Now it's actually time to do more. It's like if a player makes a team, you got to work harder. Now you're not working less because you've just upped your game and you're breathing different air now, and you're in a different, area code or tax bracket or whatever analogy you wanted to do. It. So you and I are on the same page, Sean. Everybody listening, once you get that job and that title or whatever it is, you better start doing more. That doesn't mean you need to read 10 books. You could read chapters, like I said, and break out little parts, but also build your professional learning network. You got to have people like Sean, like myself, like everybody else out there that we know that maybe we've never even met, that go, hey, can I ask you a question? I have people reach out to me on a weekly basis. I'm a brand new this, I'm a brand new that, I'm interviewing for a job, or I want to do this. What do you think? Can I pick your brain? First of all, you don't need to pick my brain. Just, let's set up a call and we can chat and we can have a conversation. And hey, here's what I would do. Here's what I wouldn't do. Think about this. Think about that. I'm not the person for this. I'm going to connect you with so-and-so because they're a really great person for that. So if you feel like you are alone, because I've been there, Sean, you've been there, then get off of your island and find people. It's different. When we kind of started, Twitter was the game. This morning I was actually like, you know what? I think I'm going to delete my Twitter because it's just, it's like it was all just so political stuff this morning on both sides, and this, and I'm just like, it's not even anybody that I follow. The first 10 tweets weren't even people that I follow. It's just placed tweets. So if Twitter's working for you, great. You know, I spend a lot of time on Facebook and LinkedIn more so just from a professional standpoint. But this morning I really had a serious thought, you know, like it's been 14 years, but man, it's changed. And we could talk about that, but regardless, find your people and connect with your people.
You know, that's so true. But, and this isn't the first time I've heard you mention this. About Twitter and I mean I remember we talked a little bit about this on when I was on your podcast.
Yep.
And I know this is something that you've been wrestling with for quite some time, because the landscape has changed. I think with Twitter and X or whatever we want to call it now.
Girl, winter is so last season. And now spring's got you looking at pictures of tank tops with hungry eyes. Your algorithm is feeding you cutoffs. You're thirsty for the sun on your shoulders. That perfect hang on the patio sundress. Those sandals you can wear all day and all night. And you've had enough of shopping from your couch. Done hoping it looks anything like the picture when you tear open that envelope? It's time for a little in-person spring treat. It's time for a trip to Ross. Work your magic.
The landscape has changed. It hasn't necessarily evolved. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's not what it was. And we could be sentimental, and I am for a few minutes, because Twitter was awesome. And it's just changed, you know? And that happens. And thankfully, there's other platforms out there like LinkedIn and Instagram and Facebook. And also too, you know, I feel like all of these platforms, it's kind of like Match.com. I don't even know if Match.com is around anymore, because I've been married for 15 years, but it's kind of like Match.com. It's like where you go find people, like, you know, Sean, you and I connect on Match.com, but then we take our professional relationship to email, to, you know, to texting, to having a phone call. And that's so much better anyways, because you're just going deeper with that person. You know, Sean, you and I have that type of relationship where, like, hey, dude, I need a book, or hey, what do you think, or this, or that, hey, do you know somebody, or hey, do you mind sharing this? And that doesn't happen on Match.com. That's where you meet those people that are have similar interests, and then you take the relationship to a more personal place, which I think is better anyway. Or like in a small group, like, hey, we're gonna start a text group with like these 10 people that are really awesome, and we're gonna text, and we're gonna, like, hey, book recommendations, or, you know, whatever that might be.
No, and I will attest to what you shared about being that thought partner and that coach, because I've heard I have it on authority, Adam, and I've heard this from several mutual friends of mine, of your generosity with your time and your expertise. And I'll put all of your socials and website stuff in the show notes. But Adam, he lives and breathes that. So, and it's rare. He's rare. You know, there's not everybody does that. Adam is, and again, I have this on authority. I've from several people where you have had an impact and you've shared this idea, or you've connected that person to someone else. And it's rare in the space. So you're definitely a gem. And speaking of generosity, Adam, I noticed you've done this too, and you know, because I do follow you on LinkedIn, and the whole sticky note, and then the wisdom post that you do. Now I'm going to add, is that in your own hand, or is that an AI thing, or?
No, that's my hand. So you're the first person that's asked me about that, and I'm so glad you've asked me. So actually, I started doing that for my kids. So I have an 11 and a 13-year-old, and I just wanted to start giving them like my thoughts and my Adamisms and my knowledge. So that is my hand. That is my, I write them on a post-it note. I just keep them in our home office, which I'm sitting in right now. And they have a big, big mirror. I don't know, it's like 5 feet wide in their bathroom, and they're on the mirror in the bathroom. And it's getting to the point where they each have their own sink in the bathroom, where like my son only has like, you know, 6 inches on the right and my daughter only has like 6 inches on the left. And I just was like decided, you know what, I'm going to take a picture and I'm going to share them, you know, and they're my thoughts for my kids. But I think, you know, you and I were talking about, Ryan Holiday and the Stoics, before the show. It's just, I think things that like aren't education related, they're just like life related and they're simple and they give people things to think about. And it's interesting. You know, my daughter was in, Colombia for 2 weeks, doing like a language exchange. So she wasn't home. So I didn't do as many post-it notes, and my son who was still home, I didn't do one for like 4 days, and he's like, Dad, you need to do another post-it note. I'm like, oh, so like kids are watching, people are listening. And I don't do one every day still. I do like every other day as a thought that I want them to think about, that I think will hopefully have a impact in their life as a human, as a friend, as a son, as a daughter, as a brother, as a sister, just, you know, just somebody on this planet. So yeah, no AI. I'm actually not into AI. I don't do anything with AI. I'm actually really interested to see what's going to happen with AI, because I think it is so way overhyped. Like, I may be wrong, and this may be like the Blockbuster moment where like Blockbuster thinks that they're never going to go out of business. But I think that AI it has been in our lives. It will be in our lives, but I feel like it's so overhyped. That was a sidebar that I just wanted to talk about, because I feel like AI has just gone crazy everywhere. And I don't even know anybody that's really using AI like totally in the classroom. So I don't know. There you go.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, again, this is, you're kind of like that standard bearer. So like, you know, a year ago, you were like, you know, Twitter, I don't know y'all. And you know, there's nothing wrong with having a healthy dissent. Cause I think we're at a critical crossroads with it. You know, it is ubiquitous. It's always been around in some way, shape or form. Sure. I think it's incumbent upon, I've been blogging about this lately, about how as leaders we have to kind of figure out how we're going to respond, you know, because if it's not AI, it will be something else. Mm-hmm. And whatever that something else is, it's important that we've got some agility and insight and then a little bit of service and support for teachers. I mean, you know, Blockbuster, I was with you, man. That was my Friday night, you know. And yeah. And then what? We gotta order DVDs for the mail. That's never gonna work. Oh, they're all gonna get stolen, you know. And then, you know, what? Wait, we can't order them through mail anymore. What's the streaming stuff? You know, I mean,
yep.
You gotta pivot, you know, appropriately. You did mention before we hit record here, and you cited him now, Ryan Holiday, who I as you shared, he speaks to you. And I think his message has really, it's resonating with me. I'm just now kind of jumping on that train, and I know that you've read him, and another mutual friend of ours, Glenn Robbins, has been talking about the Stoics for a long time. But maybe for again that leader who may not be familiar enough with Ryan Holiday and Stoics and the importance of his voice. Mm-hmm. To leadership, I'd love for you to share your take on that, man.
Yeah, I got introduced to Ryan Holiday from my really good friend Jessica Cabine, who is in Minnesota, who I know, Sean, you know. Jessica and I go way, 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 way back, and she gave me many years ago, Ego is the Enemy. And I don't know, reflecting on it, I don't know if I had an ego at the time, or she was trying to tell me something, or she just gave me the book. I don't think so. And I really, I didn't read it right away. It just kind of sat on my nightstand. And then I did. And then I found his YouTube channel and I found his Instagram. And yeah, I just love how, you know, like I said before, you know, fortuitously, history repeats itself in so many ways. There's only so many things that can kind of happen so many ways. And he takes this really, 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 really small kind of, not really well known part of our history called Stoicism, Marcus Aurelius, Meditations. I think other than the Bible is like the most published printed book ever, you know, or behind the Bible. And his new book, Right Thing, Right Now, I'm like halfway through. He takes parts of history And then he molds them with stoicism and then molds them into how you can act and you can handle yourself right now as a human being whenever you're reading the book. And I love it because you can read a chapter and that's it. And you can read a chapter and be like, oh, I understood what this is about. It's not this. I remember taking philosophy in college and I was so confused. I had no idea what was going on. I didn't understand all these things. And Ryan does a really, really great job of taking really, really complex ideas and history and putting them together, not in simple ways, but digestible ways. So highly recommend Ryan Holiday. His YouTube channel is awesome. He makes really, really great content. He's got a bookstore in Texas called The Painted Porch. He has a few podcasts. He has a daily newsletter. If you're a parent, it's called The Daily Dad. It's really, really great. It's called The Daily Dad. It's for moms, too. I'm always sending my wife, forwarding her the daily emails, ones that I think that, you know, she would respond to. So he is a content machine. So you can really, really easy, digestible things that are hopefully going to make you a better human being. So that's what I love about Ryan.
Yeah, well stated. Yeah, his latest Right Thing Right Now is on my to be read pile. I'm currently just savoring The Obstacle Is the Way, and I'm doing the Daily Stoic journal. And I'm reading it, you know, each of those each day, and then I'm just journaling about it, and that kind of reflection. That's a good word for it, Adam. Digestible, even though it's these kind of large philosophic truths, don't let the word stoicism or philosophy be a barrier, because Ryan does put it in a way. I mean, and even the translation of Marcus Aurelius, it's pretty straight up, you know. You know, very, very much akin to your post-it notes. And I'm gonna ask you this question, and then I have a request. Okay. I know that you are prolific, and in terms of your writing, and several best-selling books, and what have you. Do you have anything in the works right now?
Yeah, no, I mean, not officially. I've been thinking about another book for a while, and I just feel like if you're thinking and it's not like really biting you, then don't go through the process, because as you know, writing a book is super fun, but it's a process. I really want to write a book like just strictly about leadership and how to lead better. I feel like somewhat unique experience where I spent 17 years in school districts. In many different positions as a teacher, as an assistant principal, central office. And then for the last 6 years, I've had the really great experience of working with school districts and educational organizations all over the country. I've worked with over 400 school districts and like county offices or state leadership organizations in 46 states. And I feel like that's really cool. And I'm coming up on episode 300 of my podcast, The School District, where I interview pretty much just administrators, superintendents, chief academic officers, principals, assistant superintendents, executive directors. So I've had so much, I've been there like talking and seeing to a lot of people. And I have two Google Docs, like 50 pages each of like notes. And I just trying to synthesize all that I've seen. And I think, so no, but yes. And I just need to kind of get cracking on it, but I want to take a different approach to it. And, I've been whirling that around in my head. So, maybe soon. I'm about to be living on airplanes for the next 2 months because my summer is really busy. And I find that riding on planes is actually really great because I just don't buy the Wi-Fi and I don't log on to my Delta Sky Miles, and I can just sit there and write without any distractions. So maybe come 2025, something more serious will be there. But I also want to do a children's book. I, as a principal, I loved reading children's books, like loved it. And it's an interesting market, so that's like the hard part. But I have a couple children's books in my head. So you know what? I'm 44. I'm young. I feel like I'm 19, Sean. Delia Owens, she wrote my favorite book of the last 10 years, Where the Crawdads Sing. And Delia wrote that book. It was her first novel. She wrote that book when she was 70 years old. So if you're out there right now and you're listening, you're like, well, I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm close to retirement. Oh, I'm super rural. I'm in rural Missouri or rural Texas. I can't do that. I would say stop. Her publisher, the first year it came out, they printed 28,000 copies, which may sound like a lot, but it's actually not. Hardback, major publisher. The first year that book came out, Where the Crawdads Sing, they sold 3 million copies. To date, they've sold over 15 million and a major motion picture, and she was 70 years old. So I just tell people, you're never out of the game. You're never out of the fight. Your idea is not too small. You're not too old. You're not too whatever. Stop. Start doing it. Start doing the thing right now. Think big, act small. To go back to the post-it notes for a minute, if you think big and you act big, that's a big old whiteboard in a conference room somewhere with 10 different color Expo markers, and you're going to have too many ideas. Take my post-it notes and write down the first chapter idea on a post-it note. And then another post-it note is the second chapter idea. Or just take one post-it note for the overall theme of the book or the project, because that forces you to think but act small in some little way. Most things never get done because they're too complicated, or people just don't get started. So simplify it and just start and build that momentum. It's like an avalanche. It starts with one snowflake and then it builds momentum really quickly. So just boosh, start small and see where it takes you.
That is what I call on this podcast a rewindable moment. So NPR has their driveway moments. Friends who are listening, what Adam just shared, that not only applies to writing a book or creating a masterpiece, that's like with any endeavor. And that wow, we're going to dip that puppy in bronze and mount it someplace, because that was just a great, great moment. I'm glad to hear that you're still got the wheels turning for books. And I definitely would say the world needs, Adam, a leadership book. That I think would be powerful. But I also heard, just in the course of our conversation, the idea for another book. And now hear me out. I'm going to make the pitch here, and maybe you'll do this when you're 70. But I think there's something to be said about the connection between the wisdom your father shared with you in those articles and those videos, which I think that's a very powerful, powerful story. And then what you're doing now with your own kids. I'm getting little chills just kind of saying this. And I just see maybe not now, but all three of my children are adults. And that day will come when you're going to be packing up them for college or whatever path. And when that happens, man, and you need a shoulder to cry on, dad to dad, I'll be there with you. But that might be something, to kind of help you through that. I just think it's so compelling. And I don't even know if you've made this connection, but how we started this conversation, your father sharing lessons and wisdoms, and he, was a teacher. You are a teacher. And then here you are sharing just these beautiful gems, not only with your kids, but then you're inviting us. I didn't know that. And now you're inviting us into that really intimate sharing with your own kids. So thank you for sharing that, number one. But I also just see the idea for another, a possible, it could be a children's book. I don't know.
Yeah. That's actually a take that I hadn't thought about. It's tough. My dad passed away 13 years ago from cancer, and I wish he was here, 'cause that would be a fun book to collab with on him. But, he was like my best friend. So, I know my dad very well, and, it would be a nice take on it. I want to do something different. I don't want just like, here's another book, 'cause there's a lot of books out there, and, book publishing thankfully has become democratized. It's really, 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 really easy to publish a book. Anybody listening, you can just go to ADP, Amazon Direct Publishing. If you have a PDF file and you have a cover that you made on Canva, you can upload it and you can publish a book, which is great. It also just has added a lot of books to the market. And I think there's book fatigue, especially in the education space. It can be at times. So if anybody's listening and you want to write a book, I always tell people this: stop thinking about writing a book. Just get your message out there. I mean, I blogged for years and years and years and years and years until my first book, Kids Deserve It, came out. Todd Nessaloni, my co-author, and I, we blogged and podcasted and Twitter chatted for a year until this guy named Dave Burgess called us and said, hey, you guys should write a book. And we were like, nah, we're just changing the world. He's like, you guys should think about writing a book. And we did. So if you want to write a book, great. Put that on the shelf. Just change the world. Put your message out there in a blog post, in a podcast, in LinkedIn, LinkedIn posts, whatever, you know, tell your neighbors, start a newsletter. There's so many different ways to do it for free, because you build your ecosystem, you're building your crew and your people. So when your book does come out, people go, it's about time, because you've already kind of like, they can smell the barbecue. They're like, I'm getting hungry. But if they can't smell it, you're like, here's the food. They're like, oh, I already ate. They didn't know that you were cooking. So make sure people know that you're cooking, that you're cooking up something good.
Right on. I like that analogy, my friend. And it's around lunchtime your way on the West Coast. So, folks, Adam, if folks want to follow you, I know I'll put all this in the show notes, but if you could just maybe share a little bit of the Adam Welcome microcosm universe.
Yeah, I'm Mr. Adam Welcome on all social medias. It's also my website, MrAdamWelcome.com. If you're listening, you can email me, AdamWelcome@gmail.com. I'm just kind of all over the place. I wanted to recommend one other book. I feel like it's really important, Sean, to read books and recommend books that are different than maybe what your experience has been. And I think especially in education. Finding Me by Viola Davis, that book absolutely, it blew my mind, because her upbringing and her life was just completely different than mine. And as I was reading this, I just kept going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. But then also just reminding myself, I'm so glad that I picked up this book to read it, because her childhood and her experiences were just completely opposite than mine. And that happens in our world. And if you don't know about other people, it's just hard to maybe build a relationship and build a connection and build empathy, especially if you're on the same team and you don't know what maybe somebody else has gone through. And obviously she's a very famous and successful actress, but gosh, that road getting there, Finding Me by Viola Davis, it was an Oprah recommended book many years ago. And I read this book a few years ago, and I keep thinking about it because I'm just so glad that I read it. But I'm also always looking for books from people and authors that just had different experiences than me. Because if we're just reading and talking in echo chambers, we're not gonna broaden our brain, which I think is a mistake.
Oh man, yeah, that's one of my favorite actresses, and that is I've not read that book, but we'll definitely I got this like ever growing to be read pile, so I'll definitely. add that, but point well taken and shared, that it is important sometimes to disrupt your own reading silo, or just disrupt your silo in general, and see and connect with other stories and find that common ground, but then also learn something from that. So Adam, welcome. I am just energized and just uplifted by this conversation. And I know that others who are listening are as well. I appreciate you. I know you carved out a little bit of time because you're getting ready to go on the road and speak with many districts and schools across the country. So safe travels to you, but again, just much gratitude for stopping in.
Yeah, no, oh my gosh, 100%, Sean, for having me, and hopefully one of these days we can meet in person. I just want to say one more thing to everybody: if you have people that you're working with, or that you know, or that are on social media, and they're hating, and they have professional jealousy, don't listen to the haters, and don't listen to the naysayers, because they're going to be frumpy and they're going to be grumpy, and you find people. That believe in what you're doing and that believe in you, and you just keep pushing forward, keep a smile on your face. It's a great day to be alive, so keep doing the work.
It is, man. That's actually a good segue to my typical sign off, man. And that and again, that message comes from Adam's heart to yours who are listening, and this one comes from me as well. Don't forget to share with the world your dreams, your ideas, your insights, because they help make the world a better place, and the world needs you. So this is Sean Gaylord with my pal and thought partner and friend, Adam. Welcome. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is the Principal Liner Notes podcast. Look forward to catching you on the flip side.